The Army's Rapid Capabilities Office is barely a month old, but Army leaders already have a strong idea of what they want the new organization to pursue. Early priorities are electronic warfare, cyber, and position, navigation, and timing. Major General Walter Pyatt is the office's deputy director for operations. He joined me at this week's Association of the U.S. Army Conference here in Washington with a preview of some of the work ahead.
First of all, what's the acronym? I've heard ARCO and I've heard RCO. What are we going
no
by?
No acronym.
No
so
acronym.
The first victory we got out the box.
Nice
Secretary
going.
The Army said, I don't want an acronym. So there you go. We solved the Army's problem.
All
we
right.
had acronyms everywhere. Rapid Capabilities Office.
We'll stick with Rapid Capabilities Office. Talk with us a little bit about the why behind the stand-up of this organization.
Well, the why is because it's absolutely necessary. You know, our adversaries' technology is advancing so rapidly today that our adversaries can close gaps that we've had advantages for so long. And because they can just, you know, they can just move on rapidly evolving technologies, where our process takes us way too long to get there. So it's absolutely required in order to keep the advantages our soldiers need when they go in harm's way.
Some of your sister services have somewhat similar organizations, at least in concept. To what extent have you borrowed from what they have done?
We plagiarize the good everywhere we go, and it's great because the Air Force did this, and we learned a lot from how the Air Force did this, all the services now. So one of the things, not just standing up individual service offices, it's the crosstalk between services too, because this is not a service problem. This,
right.
this is a joint problem, and some things that services have tested and looked at even years ago now can be applied to the land domain or the sea domain. So we're that crosstalk, because we've all standing up these offices, has been very, very helpful.
And so talk about the connection, if you would, to the third offset strategy, because as you said, this is a joint and DoD-wide issue.
Yeah, no, we absolutely have to. So it's all nested, but we're really into that 1 to 5 year sweet spot. So we're trying to take advantage of existing technologies today, emerging technologies, bring that to the forefront, see what we can do to close gaps in areas where, you know, technologies are allowed our adversaries to close gaps, mainly in GPS-denied environment, electronic warfare, cyber. So state actors, non-state actors, they can apply this rapidly and put our soldiers at a disadvantage and not have the offset that we're trying to build to. So if we don't do this, we'll never be able to establish the offset that the Secretary and the Department of Defense is working towards.
So to what extent is this, you know, 1 to 5 year sort of short time frame focus that you have connected to the fact that the Army has a bow wave of procurement needs that you haven't been able to fund over the past several years, past decade, really?
Well, it's all connected. I think we're filling in a gap that exists. So we have the Rapid Equipping Force, which works for our training, our TRADOC, and they're off the shelf. So if it's needed right now, soldiers in the field, they need something right now, it exists, they can get it there, and we're not going to be part of that. I mean, that fulfills an acquisition need. It's much needed and still going to continue to be needed. And then our long-term, you know, programs are taking, you know, too long. They're getting it right. It's a system that has to be followed and disciplined to build that long term, so we can keep building the future force. But that 1 to 5 year, we weren't able to just turn things quick enough. So in areas that we should be able to capitalize on rapidly evolving technologies, we just didn't have the capability within the acquisition process. So this brings the staff and the acquisition teams together in order to close that gap. So it'll feed off things that we're seeing in the field, like rapid needs, but also bring things forward. So we see a long-term program that needed to go faster because the need is here. We'll be able to pull that into the Rapid Capabilities Office, try to get that to turn faster. But it should help us bridge to where we want to eventually get to.
Right. And you anticipated one of my next questions, which was about the Rapid Equipping Force. Say a little bit more about the differentiation between the Rapid Capabilities Office and the REF, which has been around for a while now.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've played an absolute critical role for our Army. But they're really, it's commercial, off the shelf. It exists today. It's a unit in the field. Has a need that they have. They fill out a 10-liner. They explain it to the ref. Ref goes out and explores what's available, gets it to the field as quick as possible. We may, it's helped. So we're nested and we overlap quite a bit. There's not a gap where they stop and we start. So we're seeing the same thing. So an operational need statement, a joint operational need statement, an urgent need statement comes from the field where it doesn't exist off the shelf. So we're more, it's emergent technology, doesn't exist today, so we can get it quicker. We can do more rapid prototyping. We can do limited fielding. It's not for the entire service. It's to get fill that gap where we may be seeing it in a specific theater. And that's how it nests with the ref. So the ref stays the same. It's not working for the Rapid Capabilities Office, a whole different command. And it's absolutely going to be – it's required now. It's going to continue to be required in the future.
And do you have any sense for what types of capabilities you'll be fielding in terms of, are these going to be soup-to-nuts weapon systems that can go out onto the battlefield? Are they things that get strapped onto existing platforms?
It could be both. It was our first guidance that we got from the Secretary and the Chief of Staff were to look at areas where we were seeing gaps develop from actions in Eastern Europe and Crimea and from theater. So we saw gaps in a GPS-denied environment that we need to get better in that area, position, navigation, and timing, areas in cyber and areas in electronic warfare. So that was the first guidance we looked at. And even though we were announced in August, we didn't wait to build up this organization before we went to work. We went to work right away. We understand the gaps. We're seeing what our adversaries are doing, and we're exploring in those first three areas right now.
Mm-hmm. Talk a bit more, if you would, about your pipeline to, you know, senior Army decision makers and the entire requirements process. How does that all work? How does the decision get made on, yeah, let's go ahead and field something?
Yeah, well, that's what makes it work fast. I mean, this is a lesson we learned from the Air Force. They answer to the Secretary and Chief of Staff of the Air Force. And so that's one of the very first things we plagiarized from the Air Force, is you got to answer to the senior leader. So we answer to the Board of Directors, which consists of the Secretary, Fanning, Chief of Staff of the Army, Joe Milley, and Ms. McFarland. So other members will be decided if they're needed to stand on it, but that's the decision-making. So when you go to the top, that's where you're really accelerating the process, so you're not letting something go to a 1 or 2 year staff process. We've got a need, we've got a solution, we're bringing it to the board, and they decide. Not us, we bring it to them and they'll decide. So they'll decide, hey, this is good, let's go after it, let's do some limited prototyping, get it out to the field, maybe in Europe, maybe to Army Europe, see how it works. And then we'll say if we want to make it into a longer-term program or not. Maybe it's just one of the things we can really do well for the Army is fail faster. Mm. Look at something in real time, and this ain't right. So you're informing a longer-term program that we're trying this, but it's just not right, so then we maybe make the program go faster. But that's what really gives the Rapid Capability Office its speed, is that we report directly to the Board of Directors, and they decide. Now, they won't do this in absence of command positions, because we have got to articulate from the environment and the intel from around the globe where our threats are, where our adversaries are advancing faster than we are, and what gaps we either need to move forward, or we may have a disadvantage from an adversary, the gap we have to close. And that's just unacceptable to the Army senior leaders. So they want to know where that is, and they want us to go after and find that emerging technology and close that gap.
And finally, I just want to make sure we're understanding our terms correctly. There's been a lot of talk about it, a revitalized Army Requirements Board. When you say board, is that the board you
no,
mean?
This is Board of Directors for the Rapid Capabilities Office. So it is the Army's top leadership. And so it's nice to go directly to them. But we have to do our homework. We have to do the collaboration with combatant commanders, our Army Service Component commanders. We have got to show them this is the demand. This is where commanders in the field are seeing gaps, whether that gap is in a potential future fight against an adversary or a near-peer competitor or even a peer competitor in some areas. We have to show that these are the areas where commanders need capabilities, so we give our soldiers the advantages they need. So we're not just ready for today. We're prepared for tomorrow.
Any sense of when you're actually going to be able to field your first product or capability and have something to show for this early effort?
Well, we're moving along pretty quick. I mean, our office isn't even there. We're not formed up, but that's not important. What's important is we get those gaps closed. So we've got a few things that we're looking at right now. We did our first meeting with the Board of Directors within 30 days. That's what Secretary Fanning ordered us to do. We did it. That shows how serious the Army senior leaders are to get all those people in one room at a single time. To me, that was first success, because we're able to report to them, looked at some things. We're going to meet again within 30 days. We're going to have our charter finished within 30 days. We thought that would take 180 days to finish. The first thing I said is, no, let's get it done in 30 days. And so we take that back by the end of this month. We have to meet again. So I think we're starting to see a lot of movement. Whether we get something to the field or not within a year, we'll see. But that's what we're designed to do.